I'm going to ask David if he'd come and join me for a few minutes. I'm going to ask him some hard questions. And now David, I'll give you one of these. Here you are. It's the last Sunday of 2015. No surprise to any of you, right? And most people come in the new year, you know, they're making New Year's resolutions. Those of us who walk with the Lord, we tend to try to make resolutions every week, not just once in a year. However, I phoned David yesterday and I said, all right, David, I'm going to ask you two questions here today and maybe some other little ones. And in the next few minutes, anyway, we're going to pick David's brain on these questions. But next Sunday, I'm going to pick people out of the congregation and find out what your answer is to the same questions. So basically, I gave David a day's notice to think about it, and I'm giving you all a week's notice. Because I figure this is probably an important time of the year just to stop and think and share amongst ourselves. So instead of having the usual exegesis of Scripture, we're going to have an exposition of David's thought for 5 or 10 minutes. And then I said to Hazel this morning before breakfast, I said, well, don't be surprised, I might get you up and ask you the same questions. Now, of course, all of this is to help us think through some things that it's good to think through and important to think through at this time of year. Will help to inform your prayers. We'll pray together on Thursday night as well. But anyway, let's see if David has any answers to the questions at all. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So the first question for David, which might prompt some other questions, is this. David, what have you learned in 2015? Or perhaps over the last 2 or 3 years, but what have you learned that you think is very important not to let go of and to carry it with you into the future? And of course, it could be relevant to yourself personally or to us as a people. Anyway, let's see if David has or feels or remembers that he's learned anything in the course of the year.
I think the first thing that came into my mind was perhaps defining learn. We get a lot of information, but I then reflected on things that perhaps impacted me most in the last 12 months. And one thing in particular was coming to a greater understanding that our view of God is actually foundational to everything else in life. What I think about God, what I believe about Him, and this comes back, of course, to things that have already been mentioned this morning with regard to God's love for me and His intention for me. And so it is a personal thing, but it's also a corporate thing. Do you want me to go on expanding on that, or you want to inquire what I mean?
No, just keep talking for a minute, Dave.
I've been a Christian for a long time, and many of you know me well, and I've often talked about the fact that as Christians, our whole process is to change and become like Jesus. And that obviously is a long journey. But the other thing that's very central to it is change. And I've read a couple of books this year, and some of the central focuses have been with regard to information does not change you. And even revelation does not change you. But when we come to an understanding of what it is that God wants for us, and for me it's been a greater understanding of His greatness, how He's far beyond our comprehension to really understand, and therefore His love and His grace and His mercy is so much greater than we can even really put words to. But if we start to think of him like this in terms of what he wants for me is good. And therefore, when he challenges me about something that needs to change, having that understanding, it's for good. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to change, but it changes the way I view what needs to happen.
Mm. So you feel your life has been changing?
Well, that's a very challenging question. Because personally, I know there's a number of things the Lord's been speaking to me about. And it's interesting because if we think about repentance, repentance requires change also. And as I've thought about a couple of the things the Lord's spoken to me about, it can often be a struggle. And yet, there's a requirement for us to yield to it. But how do you yield to something if you don't really believe it? And one of the things I was reading just recently spoke about, again, the Romans 12, 1 and 2 passage, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, again, it's change. You've got to change your mind. And so there have been some things that I've had what I believe is considerable breakthroughs on. And some of you might know about some of those, and most of you wouldn't.
Mm. So what is it now that you've got to do to hold the things you're learning and take them further, carry them into the new year with you, get towards the end goal? Is there an end goal? Or?
Well, I believe it's a process. I think these things are all steps. If we're not seeking to become more like him, then we'll stay the same. If we are seeking, then God, I think that's part of the humbling process. We recognize we have to change. And that this view that I have of God is as a loving father. Now, I can relate to that because with my own children, even though they're adults, I still want what's good for them. I still want them to grow and to mature and for them to become all they can become. And so I also understand that my Father in heaven wants that for me. Therefore, when I am confronted by something that needs to change, I recognize I'm now in a process. Am I going to yield to that? I'm going to cling to my own desire? Or am I going to say, no, Lord, I recognize. And that's what I mean about the difference between information. You can read the scripture and you can see something very clearly. If I could give an example. I was in a prayer meeting earlier this year and the Lord gave me a scripture. And when I got this scripture, I recognized that for many years I had a certain view on this. So a certain belief, a certain established pattern of thinking. And you probably mostly know this scripture where it says that which is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and that which is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. But the Lord was speaking to me about what I think and say. And I suddenly realized that a lot of us say things that are actually binding things in our life, and we do it offhandedly, we confess things, we own things. My sore back, my headache. And we don't recognize that these words bind us into something, but it also binds the heavenlies. And so I shared it just with a few people, but I also confessed my sin with regard to inappropriate agreement. And started to try more carefully to watch what I said with regard to many things.
And that's a pretty good point. I am often hearing people say things that I know. They just put a rule in place that will affect the way they live for the rest of their lives. And if I have the right or the opportunity, I try to correct them. And one that you'll commonly hear people say as they get to our age, give or take 20 years, is, they'll forget something or drop something or whatever. They say, oh, I'm getting old. And people talk loose like this all the time. And they're well-meaning. But the fact is you can't speak like that without it putting bondage in place. This affects lots of stuff. So actually speech can be hugely damaging, your own speech more damaging than anybody else's. I might have mentioned before Don and Heather Drayson in Adelaide, who are a very cheerful couple and well into their 70s now, and still pastoring a church and as happy and as cheerful as ever. All their lives, they would never allow people to speak these kinds of words concerning them. Never allow someone to say, oh, that's a senior's moment, you know? They're very sweet about it, but they just stop all that kind of talk, never talk like that themselves. And there's very good reason. And all of you need to guard your tongues. Now, I try to guard it in my own house. I'm just very sensitive to loose speech. And so if I hear it in someone else, I'll just point it out. You know, you just cursed yourself with what you said. You can't always do this. But what David's saying is correct. We have to be very thoughtful about how our own words. Sometimes it's a vow, but it's not always a vow. Sometimes it's just an observation, a declaration. But you'll find they're binding words. Words have power. Anyway, so I think, David, this would be a good one if people are thinking about change that must take place. Because we're talking here something very personal to everybody's life, your home, your lifestyle, your business. This is a big one. You know, let him who would love life and see good days keep his lips from speaking evil. Now, of course, the obvious application is speaking evil of another person, but very often, without realizing it, you're speaking evil of your own days. You know, and so anyway, be warned. So anyway, you're learning.
I have a very practical illustration. Mm-hmm. A dear friend Philip here ran a course in the church a couple of years ago, you may recall, with Dave Ramsey. And I sat through that in the leadership meetings. And without going into details, I was a little annoyed about it because the man was suggesting certain processes to get yourself out of debt and into a better place to prosper. And due to particular circumstances at the time, and I did say to Philip afterwards, I said, well, that's all very well. I said, but it's not possible. Did you hear what I said? Because there was a circumstance in my life, I made a declaration, it's not possible. Now, if you were just looking at it from a pure physical position and numbers on a page, that was true. But I was denying another whole concept that who is it that blesses? Who is it that prospers? Anyway, one of the concepts was that you should have an emergency fund of $1,000. And I was bemoaning the fact that, well, where was I going to get $1,000 from to start with? Anyway, I was having these little grumbles. I wasn't saying this to lots of other people. These were all internal grumblings and just a couple of words to Philip on the way past. But the Lord said to me, now, it wasn't an audible voice. It was like a thought that had been dropped into my heart. Direct debit of $20 per week into a separate account, and in 1 year you'll have $1,000. I thought, I can do that. So immediately I set up an account and did an automatic direct debit. Have a guess what happened? At the end of the year I had $4,500. Now what happened? See, I had locked up heaven because of my words and my belief. But once I changed an attitude and changed a thought and changed speech, it was loosed. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much I've got now, because it has changed everything with regard to that whole area of our life.
Yeah. Can you see how, at the point that someone says it's impossible and they do nothing else, their own words will prevent them from ever finding the doorway to something being different? Because, and every time, even though they long for something, would like to have it, there's a word that says, sorry, for you, not possible. You've already put that curse in place. Words are very powerful. And so that's why you've got to catch yourself when you say them, deal with the thought right then, the belief right then. You cut the words off, basically. Stuff those words back where they belong, in the never-never. Release yourself from them. And then say, Lord, what can I do to change the possibilities? But the first thing is, deal with your words. But it's not just words. I find there's something deeper. It's the attitude of your heart, but it's not just the conscious attitude of your heart. It's the subconscious or the unconscious belief systems. People operate out of all kinds of subconscious belief systems, and it's the belief systems that are putting in place the curses, the boundaries, the bondage. We are our own worst enemies again and again. So you've got to start dealing with it. Just take a whole new perspective to the possibilities. What else? Can you add to that?
I also sort of mid-year came across a series that Chuck Clayton gave to us many years ago called Wealth Builders. So I decided to listen to this again, and it's about 15 CDs. And I found it very confronting, again, about my religious beliefs. And the unfortunate thing about humans is, and John's preached this, we're very religious. We might not think we are, but we are. And we've all developed our own little religions with regard to attitudes to different things. And one of the speakers, I'm going to tell you this because this is one of the things that confronted me. And he was talking about what is the most important thing in a worship service. And, he went through all the normal things that people would say were important, our singing and the preaching and all this. And in the end, he was pretty upfront and in the face. He just said, no. He said, it's your giving. And he tied it back to the scripture where the Lord said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And he used some very interesting terminology with regard to behavior in church services. He says, you can leap and you can dance and you can flop around like a fish and do all sorts of things. He says, but remember the Lord said of the widow. He said, how did he know what the widow had given? But it really impacted me with regard to, we might have a lot of different thoughts, but where is my treasure going? Where is my heart treasure? And what do I believe about the kingdom? And one thing that has continued to be with me is the fact that the scripture says that we are blessed to be a blessing. And when I've come to sort of perhaps little difficult times in our finances, one thing I always decided was that the Lord would always receive not just the tithes but the offerings first. And in our 41 years of marriage and in all my life and giving, I have never wavered from that. And I believe that also positions us greatly, again, in honouring the Lord. And I want to refer all this back to what I started is, God is good. God loves me and he's my Father, and he wants what's good for me. That can never waver. Because if that wavers and something goes wrong with your finances or your health, you're going to start questioning the wrong questions. God is good all the time.
And on the giving issue, David, very often in life, you know, you come to some point where you're challenged over your giving, you make a decision, a commitment, you shift something. But unless that's constantly reviewed, we tend to go stale. You can go on a year or two or three, and next thing you know, you're taking it all for granted. It's just part of the system. Chances are your circumstances have changed or improved, but you haven't increased your faith. You haven't increased your level of sacrifice and generosity. And as a result of that, neither have you stepped into greater blessings and greater freedom of flow. The point is that in Christian life, for every single one of us, our attitude to money and not just our attitude to giving, but our actual giving needs to be reviewed. And I'm conscious that we haven't really done that in this church since about 2003. I know along the way there's been the occasional message, and I think if you go back 4 or 5 years, there was a series of 2 or 3 messages, but we haven't done a proper stop and let's look at this, what it really means, you know, checked our hearts, given everyone an opportunity to reflect upon their own giving and commitment, but it needs to be. And I think it's probably one of the more important things that we do as we begin the new year. And so I've marked on my calendar that when I get back from the US and Canada, because I'll be absent the last Sunday in January and the 1st of February, but when I get back, we've got several weeks there where I think we ought to just relax and just take a fresh look at that, because remember what the Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And if you want your heart in a place that opens heaven's most rich blessings, we've got to look at how are we really handling finance in our life, and does it really honor the Lord, and you know, have we positioned ourselves well financially so as to participate? Paul called it participating in the matter of giving and receiving. An interesting phrase you don't hear a lot of teaching about, but that's what he called it. So I'm just alerting you that I think we have to refresh our hearts and minds in that in the new year, so that you can be in a position to benefit the best, you know, get the richest benefits as you walk with the Lord in the next 1, 2, 3 years. Now, David, what other thought do you have with respect to what we carry into the new year? You know, you've reflected on the changes you've learned and made, but in going into 2016, what do you think is the attitude or the value or the faith? You know, what should we be believing, or what's our goal for working toward in 2016?
Some years ago, John, you gave us, the staff, a video to watch with regard to goal setting. And some of us did that, and we set goals. And it's very interesting, because I don't know about you, I hear some people say this about how quickly time goes. And you come to the end of another year. Well, I actually put my goals into computer, and then I put them into my iPhone. And what I discovered was 2 years can go by before you even look at the goals again. And then you look at them and you think, well, I didn't achieve that or that or that. With regard to giving, I think the whole of our life needs to be on review. And you've heard me say this when I've preached with regard to growth. When you're going to school, there's a constant process of examination. Did I learn how to do equations? Did I learn about adverbs and adjectives? And you're tested. But spiritually, it's as if there's no real defining test for us other than the Lord tests. And I believe that. And I also believe that often I've failed tests because I didn't even know the test was there. Have you experienced that? Because the scripture says God will test you. And I think perhaps before you get to the end of the year, you should just sit down. And if you didn't have any goals for this year, then you should plan to have some goals for next year. And I've dismally failed in a number of my goal settings with regard to my devotions. You know, I start off with really good intentions. I'm going to read a book, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. and then I find that I haven't done it. Well, what do you do? Do you just give up? No, I think you've got to bring yourself back to, no, this was my goals. I need to reestablish them. I need to make time for them. And again, the whole process is change. If you're the same at the end of next year as you are now, something hasn't worked. We haven't become. And it might only be incremental. So therefore, I also think that accountability, in like Philip's going to do a new thing with life groups, now accountability to someone with regard to what your goals are, what you want to achieve with regard to yourself spiritually, I think you need to have a plan. But in a greater sense, growth is, to me, how do you measure it? It's very difficult to measure spiritual growth. But I think we should all be looking to grow, and therefore anything the Lord's spoken to me about, I've got to make sure I carry that on, you know, through into the new year and be listening. That's another big one that I've heard a lot of people confess we haven't really got on top of, and for myself also, that the listening to God, waiting on Him, and then when He does speak, being obedient, applying the thing.
Mm. Well, good, David, thank you. Just, I appreciate all of that. And what I'm doing is giving you all the opportunity this week just to think about yourselves and your own walk with God and about us as a people and our service to the Lord as community. You can ponder it all week long. What would your answer to these questions be? The two questions basically are, you know, what have we learned? What valuable thing have we received from the Lord or learned that we must carry forward with us? The other question, maybe it's similar, is what particular goal or value or belief or faith must we have going into 2016? So I popped the two questions to Hazel this morning. She gave me immediate answers. We're going to find out in a sentence or three sentences what Hazel's answers to the question were, and then we're going to set you all the homework, because next week we're just as likely to sit around the communion table all Sunday morning and hear people's answers. But you've got to be brief. All right, we'll see how brief Hazel can be. Basically, we'll let you all make a point, or perhaps a double-headed point, seeing there's two questions. But all right, Hazel, first of all, what have you learned in 2015 or in the last two or three years? It was a very important thing to learn.
We've probably learned lots of things, but the thing that immediately came to my mind was the fact that I find, and I'm sure a lot of you are the same, you can go week by week by week and there's things on the timetable and you can just basically exist just by what's put there in front of you. And I just felt what I was thinking about and what we need to learn is that the Lord Jesus has given peace a really, really important calling, and that is to take an apostolic message to Australia and to the nations. And what I am seeing more and more is that that has to be embraced and really taken out.
Mm-hmm. And what else have you learned?
I've learned that as we do things, often there's opposition that comes our way, and living in the house or the home with John means that there's lots of things that come our way that require a lot of prayer. And the thing that I think is we have to persevere. We can't ever give up. Sometimes I might feel personally, I'm sure John doesn't feel this way, but I will feel if he mentions come and pray, sometimes I can think, you know, like it can seem never-ending sometimes. But as we press in, there is always an answer. There's always a breakthrough. We've seen that, you know, as we look back. Yes, we see that the Lord gave us the key. The Lord gave us the strategy. He gave us the word that broke through. Every time there's the breakthrough. And so that's really exciting when you see it succeed. But the point is, something more will come up. We have to persevere. We must never give up. We must keep praying and keep seeking and keep finding the breakthrough.
Right. Heading into 2016, Hazel, what is the principle? What's the faith? What's the attitude that we must have?
I think being full of faith for what's ahead. I get the impression, just even by what's coming into John's emails and Facebook, that things are really hotting up more and more. Like, I see in next year a real rise in where God is taking us and what's ahead of us. And so with that, I just sense an excitement, but an increase of faith for where he's taking us. And we know that we're not doing this on our own. We don't have to think, I can't manage this or it's going to be too big, because the Lord always gives the grace and he always gives the power, and it's just wonderful to be walking in it.
Okay, all right, you can switch that off. You can keep that. Now, two things to be enlarged on, but to be commented on there. Hazel speaks of the opposition that comes. Yes, when you have the kind of charge that I have to do the kinds of things I must do, along the way, all kinds of things arise to try and prevent you going there. And sometimes they come with a fair bit of oppression in them. And often we'll find, as we start to pray about those things, it looks like it's not shifting. And sometimes you can pray for weeks or months, and all the prayer is doing is giving you relief. All the prayer is doing is just keeping it at bay. But we have found again and again, as we've done that, sure enough, persist for a couple of weeks or persist for a couple of months, and all of a sudden the power that was in it is not there anymore. And then it's very easy to keep the thing down, but persist a few more months and what you find is all the power has gone out of that thing. And we've had numerous battles that have meant persistence over many months to win them. And so it means a few minutes every day of addressing it, binding it, cutting that thing off, whatever you got to do. That's the kind of persistence she's referring to. With respect to the future, the summary basically is this. We must not sit here thinking that we're meant to just keep receiving more of the same. In other words, we're not just maintaining what we have and seeing more ministry at the same level, more occasions come along that we'll meet with the same grace. We must anticipate that the Lord has another big breakthrough for us as a people, and that we rise and function at another level of grace, and that another whole flood of the Holy Spirit comes in, I think. So, another whole measure of community altogether. So now, would you all put your thinking caps on? We don't have any other expression for listening prayer, actually, but, you know, it's, how about this week? Just spend a few minutes and wait up before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. And there'll be two prongs to this. One is, as a people, what are we meant to think and believe? And in our own lives, our own family, you know, what am I meant to think and believe? Give some thought to that this week. And let the Lord wrap you in his arms and inspire you afresh. There's a scripture I want to put before you before we close. And it is this one from, here we go, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. We'll put it on the screen for you to consider. And take this to heart as you go forward. A lot of people read this, and when they come across the part about if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and they give up because they think, well, they don't know what the will of God is, or, you know, there's a whole lot of things maybe contrary to his will. What if it's not God's will? And so people use this to kill faith, and it's totally contrary to the intent of the writer. The writer was the Apostle John, who actually intended that what he was about to write would do the opposite thing for you and give you faith where you didn't have faith. Because look at his opening phrase. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So this piece of information is meant to make you so confident in coming to God and making your request, believing that this is going to be the answer. Let's see what he said. He said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's actually meant to be good news, because it turns out there's a whole lot of things the Lord wants to do for you that you haven't had the faith for. The freedoms and the releases, the progress, you know, the liberty, the joy, the expressions of power, the walking in grace, being delivered from besetting sins, blessings in your family and home, so many things, but not only that, power in witnessing, touching the lives of other people, healing people around you, seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow, you know, addressing financial issues, family issues. All of these are the will of God. And so the first statement is, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So the first piece of good news is, if you make this your prayer, he's listening. But the second piece of good news is, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So you're meant to take this to heart. It's the foundation of your faith. It's your springboard. It's your launching pad into confidence before God in your prayers. So you must, I think, approach prayer with this confidence. And there's something else I want to say about listening, but I'm going to tie it over to next week. But listening is the other side of the coin. If you're going to walk with God, one side of it is your confidence in believing that he hears what you ask. The other side of the coin is your confidence in believing if you will sit and wait for God, he will provide things, including understanding, listening prayer. So do some listening this week and draw near to the Lord. We're going to have a few moments of prayer and worship God. And then during our final song this morning, we will receive your offering. But how about we go to prayer together, and we'll just have some music to help us. And come Thursday night, we'll share prayers. Next Sunday, we'll share some more prayers. But here's an opportunity for us just to put our faith in God, and just wherever you're seated, to express your own desire to walk with God in the coming days, and to express your faith to meet with God and to have him meet with you. There is a scripture that says, draw near to God. Let's bow our heads together and we quieten our hearts in the presence of the Lord. There's a scripture that says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it's very easy to do this in a public meeting because all the other distractions are largely removed. You can't suddenly pick up a book to read or turn the TV on. No, you're sitting here, you're captive in his presence, and the music starts playing and it's very easy to get into the atmosphere. The challenge is to fulfill the scripture at home. Draw near to God. But if day by day, here of a morning and there of an evening, you'll put aside the other stuff and sit quietly in his presence, you start to fulfill the scripture, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, you will find his presence. Wait on God, the scriptures say in many places. Rest in the Lord, it says, in many places. If you will take the time, minutes here and minutes there, just to sit with the Lord, you will begin to find a whole new level of grace flowing for you. Now this week, listen to God. Write down what he says. I'll be glad to hear from you. Next Sunday, we'll take counsel together. Meanwhile, let's take our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I present to you today this family, the family of peace, and all the families that are in it. I lift up to you, O Lord, every home. And I ask afresh your grace. May grace be added to every one of these. I ask that you would forgive the sins of each one, that you would renew the faith and the spirit of all. I ask that you'd lay your hand afresh upon these who are your servants and draw them near to you and grant to each of them a renewal of heart and mind, a renewal of that sense in which you have drawn them to yourself, that you might also send them into the world. And so I ask that there would be a renewal of the effectiveness of every family, every home, of the grace of each home, and of the vibrancy and life in each family, the renewal of love in families and of the sense of their purpose. May the Lord Jesus be revealed in every home and in every heart. I thank you that you're a forgiving God. And may it be this week that each one, every one of our people, would know the hand of the Lord carrying them along, your presence with them, the renewing of hearts and minds in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look ahead, a fresh year about to dawn, we thank you for all that you've given us in the past and for clarity of purpose. And I pray that you would grant us afresh a mind and a heart, a mind that understands it, a heart that takes hold of it. And grant, Lord, this week that the word of the Lord would come to every one of us so that we have, going forward, such a very clear sense of purpose, and that there is within us an order by which we may do these things, an inner order. And so, Lord, I ask that the grace for personal discipline and application, for insight and for learning, for understanding would be given to every one of our people. I ask you, Lord, make us people of the Word and the Spirit. I ask you, Lord, that you'd grant to us the riches of understanding that are in Christ Jesus. Grant to us as a people the key of knowledge. Grant to us the fear of the Lord, which is the key to all the rich treasury of wisdom and knowledge that is hid in Christ Jesus. May a whole grace be upon this house by which we are alive prophetically, able to see and to understand, to discern and to have insight, that our people would know the leading of the Holy Spirit, their dreams would be alive with meaning, and the word of the Lord would come to every one of them. And strengthen our hands in all the work, and grant that the lives of all of our people would prosper, they'd be made holy, and that the work of their hands would be empowered. Lord, this is our cry today. Strengthen the work of our hands. Bless the work of our hands. And so we commend our way to your care. And for all those on holidays, all of those who are away, Lord, we apply these prayers to them. Grant the release of these blessings over them and keep them safe. Bring them home. And so now may all the work this coming year be richly blessed of the Lord and favoured of God, and your name be given glory in this city. And I thank you for the body of Christ in this city. May all that which is the body of Christ, become faithful and loyal one to another. May this city be filled with love and filled with the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We commend now our way to your care, O Lord, and put our trust in the living God who loves us. And so now, my dear ones, brothers and sisters, and all our children, the grace and mercy and peace of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon you and be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.